following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Refuge family, good to be with you again today, Wednesday. And I'm going to stretch out the opening intro a little longer than normal, just working through a few technical difficulties that Josh will totally solve for us and get today's fireside chat to you from Pastor Jeff, which he recorded in his own home. So very homey chat for you. But while that's getting squared away, just wanted to share with you a couple things very quickly. And that is, as we have, and rightly so, focused on the physiological, you know, the implications of what we're doing to keep ourselves from catching this virus, and which is great, doing our due diligence and all in that, and thus, hand sanitizer right there. All the things that we're doing and the social distancing and such, all important, and watching the numbers and praying that that the caseloads will drop on a daily basis and recoveries will increase and all that, which is good, and we need to do that. But also that side of it that affects the financial side of it. Many in our Refuge family, an extended family, right? And so just talking with Michael, our worship leader, about a couple of his family members, and I had mentioned to him about one of my kids and a sister-in-law that have been affected because of COVID-19 and loss of jobs and such. And that's a hard thing. That's a really hard thing. Now, if you're in the midst of it, you know that. Those that are not, it's like, oh yeah, we need to pray for that. But it's hard to relate to how difficult that is to be gainfully employed and then suddenly you're not. And ideally, you know, we're all following the Dave Ramsey baby steps of debt being paid off and having emergency funds. But for some, they haven't got those funds up to where they want them to be. Maybe this will be the impetus to focus on that more for a lot of us. But the reality is, for some, that's just not available, and that's a hard thing to deal with. So I'd like to take just a moment with you to pray for those in our Refuge family that are dealing with that side of this, and then pray for wisdom for decision makers and how to balance this. What a difficult thing to balance, right? When you're concerned about the physiological, the health of our county, of our state, of our nation, and yet realizing the economic impact could perhaps even be greater if not properly balanced. So if you would join me in prayer, and then when we're done, we can switch over to Pastor Jeff for his chat, all right? Well, Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, thank you because we know your heart. Lord, your love for us, your love for the world, even for that matter, Father, you so loved this world that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for the world, including us, Lord. That's amazing love, and that's your heart. That's the motive behind what you allow and don't allow. And so, Lord, we thank you that we know that and we rest in that. And Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for those in our family, our Refuge family, our extended family, those relatives of ours, people in our spheres of influence that we have contact with, that we care about, that we love, that we have aching hearts for, Lord, because they are dealing with the financial side of this and having a rough go of it. Lord, please encourage them. Lord, please provide for them. Lord, use us as your family, however we can do that. Lord, we pray as well for the expediting of the funds that have been made available. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for providing for our country to have some surplus to do that, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that process, those wheels that turn so slow, and understandably, they turn very slow, Lord, that you would expedite those. So, Lord, those checks and funds would arrive in a more timely manner. Father, that you would provide a way for these folks to get back to work quickly, in a safe way, but in a quick way. And finally, Lord, we pray for decision makers, our president and on down the line, to the state level and county level, Lord, for great wisdom, Lord, and how to balance this all out so that, Lord, there can be recovery in all arenas, Father. So, Lord, we commit that to you, and we pray, Lord, that we might be encouraged today by this chat, this timely word, a word of encouragement during this crisis. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Josh, we good to go? All right, here we go.
Welcome to the Refuge Wilson Fireside Chat Times. And this is our weekly Wilson Wednesdays. And you've met all the other members of our family, but you have not met our cat. This is our cat. This is Frisbee. And she really likes people. Excited to be here with you.
Wilson Wednesday.
Wilson Wednesdays. One of the things that we wanted to talk to you about today, and maybe you've asked this question yourself, we had heard it a lot, actually, of people and articles being written about why people go to church these days. And actually, people who are Christians who love the Lord and wondering why go to a church building. And I know that's probably not you. You're probably not asking that question because you're probably missing the church right now, as we both are. Love being with Refuge, love being a part of the church. But there are some people who have asked that question, and that's kind of been one circulating. So we thought, let's tackle that on Wilson Wednesdays.
Yes.
let me just start by saying this. It does seem that it would be easier sometimes not to go to church. Mm-hmm. And you can make an argument for, well, why do I need to? So here's some of the things that we've heard. Mm-hmm. One of them is, I can listen. It's easier for me to just listen on a podcast or watch a YouTube video of a message. And I can choose whoever I want to listen to all over the world. So I can choose where I want to go with that. What's another argument that you've heard?
You can choose what style of maybe worship or whoever your favorite worship leader is.
From hymns to Hillsong.
Yes, from hymns to Hillsong.
Yeah. I would say this one, you could choose your own schedule. You know, church starts at 7:30, 6 o'clock on Saturday, 6:30, 9, and 11. And if I can't make those times or if I find myself being late, then we just won't go. We'll just watch it online.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
You can choose what to wear. You can wear your pajamas.
That's right. You can wear whatever you want to wear to church, and no one's going to bother you about it, which I think Refuge, I don't think anybody's bothering you. You can wear whatever you want to Refuge. How about this one? You can choose who you go to church with. Sometimes, as we all know, church can get messy, and there can be attitudes, and there can be things that just hard to work with.
Because we're all people.
Because we're people.
Yeah.
And if I could not have to deal with all that and still get to go to church at my home and whatever I want to wear, then that's an argument that we've heard oftentimes spread around. And it's kind of like a choose your own adventure. If you remember those books, you could just choose whatever adventure you want. And this is kind of like choose whatever church experience you want. And I don't have to deal with all the other things. But I would just say this, I want to be super careful about this. I'm thankful for online. We both use podcasts. We both use, we'll watch messages online. We listen to worship music all the time on various medias. And we know this to be true that, and actually Refuge is very thankful for the online ministry that we have. There are people who can't get out of their houses. There's people who get sick on a regular basis and they need the church to be online. There's people who travel for business. It's awesome that they can stay connected to their church body. We're going to list a couple reasons, and maybe you could come up with more, and maybe you could add to the conversation below. But one of those things that we thought is so important is, as we see Jesus ascend into heaven, one of his promises to his disciples is that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come and live, and he's going to dwell in you. And when he does that, when he comes, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to present to you a spiritual gift. There, you're going to have a gift maybe that no one else has or no one uniquely has that you have. And the Holy Spirit's going to develop that gift inside of you. In fact, it's going to be one of the ways that you mature as a believer in Jesus. It's going to be part of your story and who you are. And he's going to mature that gift in you. And actually, we see that gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read that to you. Listen to the connectivity of this passage. For as the body is one, sorry, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Here's what it says. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the fact that the body is not one member, but many. If that foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is that therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? Listen to this, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need for you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or fraction in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. I wanted to catch into that real quick. It says that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. Another key element there, the idea of rejoicing with the entire body. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, here's what I think is so important about this text. Obviously, when someone gives their life to the Lord, the Spirit comes and dwells in them. They become a part of the body of Christ. Now, I can be part of the body of Christ in Huntington Beach, or I could be part of the body of Christ in Nairobi, Kenya, and we share being part of the same body of Christ. Now, something else is true about that. I could be here in Huntington Beach and I have a certain gifting. And someone in Nairobi, Kenya could have a certain gift, and we're both building the body of Christ. We're both one together. However, there's a lot of functionality in this gift, in this passage, where God is saying, listen, I've given you a gift, and I've given you a gift, my wife Bethany. We have different gifts, and I want you to utilize that for the body of Christ. And I believe, as he says, you should care for one another. You should rejoice with one another. That's really hard to do if we're not in some sort of connection with one another. If I don't know what to rejoice with in her life or what she's doing or what her gifts are bringing to the church, it's really hard if I don't see that to rejoice with that. Now, I can certainly rejoice with somebody in Nairobi, Kenya, if I know them and I've seen what they're doing. But if I'm not connected in some way, there's a lot of connectivity in this, that my gifts are used to build up this local body where there's a group of people using their gifts together to build up the local church in that area and the body of Christ, I should say, in that local area. So I would just say one of those things that we want to look at as we look at these texts of why do I attend the local church? Why would I go to church? We would both say that God wants to use your gifts in that church. That it's not actually necessarily all about you, but it's about you coming to the church and utilizing a gift that God may have given you. And so being careful that I don't isolate away and the church doesn't get to use that but local gift.
Mm-hmm. And another verse that speaks to that is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." So this was back a while ago. The same thing was happening then as is now, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is nearing. And we are even closer to the day of the Lord being so close to him, his return. And Warren Wiersbe says about this portion of scripture, fellowship with God must never become singular and selfish. We must also fellowship with other Christians in the local assembly. Apparently, some of the wavering believers have been absenting themselves from the church fellowship. Note that the emphasis here is not on what a believer gets from the assembly, but rather on what he or she can contribute to the assembly. Faithfulness in church attendance encourages others and provokes them to love and good works. And I know in my personal experience, I'm more likely, if I'm signed up at a gym and a class, I am more likely to go to that class because it's set at a specific time and there's going to be other people there. And I push myself harder when I'm in those classes, not because, well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be the lazy one in the class, but there's this healthy accountability of wanting to do well. And, you know, other people around you are an encouragement as well. You look at them, you say, oh, well, they can push through. I'm going to push through. And so I think that's a huge thing when we gather together. I could work out at home, but I am definitely not going to push myself as hard as I would if I was with a group of people that were encouraging me just by their actions, just by the way they're living and what they're doing.
Yeah, the ironing sharpens iron.
Yes.
Ironing sharpens iron. Yeah. The ironing sharpens the ironing. So iron sharpens iron, I think, is a huge part of that. There is a certain aspect is if I'm a part of this community and this community is growing in faith and in the Word of God and they're identifying with the Lord, I want to be a part of that community. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I isolate myself on my own, it's really kind of just, it's up to me to kind of figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then but I don't get to see other people. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we kind of brought up is that the early church did not have the internet or podcasts. So they couldn't turn to the screen to get their church on. And so what did they do? They gathered together. In fact, we see in Acts, they gathered together regularly, daily, and they ate together and they fellowshiped together. And that was a huge part of the early church. And I would just say, just because we can now go to screens, the question we should really ask ourselves is, is that the best method? Is that the way we should go? Or should we look back in some ways, not in every way, yeah, to the early church,
yeah,
and assemble together and be part of what kind of do what they did there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to communion and spending time together. And I think I kind of get the sense that maybe people will start to realize that again, the importance of that as we've been isolated away, that maybe there would be some people who think, hey, I want to get back to that again. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things that maybe God is doing in this season.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on that?
No.
Okay. Well, I think we have one more here. And maybe, again, you could add so much more to this, but I would just say the church is a picture of heaven. Mm. That when we look at heaven and we look at what heaven will be like, it says that there will be people from every tribe and nation and tongue. And people who are just different from each other, that we would think, oh man, they're so different than we are. And yet when we look at the church, it's supposed to be the body of Christ assembled here on earth, glorifying God, pointing people to who God is. And I believe what heaven will be like together. Now, here's the thing. It gets messy. And we've all been a part of a mess of church at times. And again, maybe some of those people who say, I'm just not going to go to church anymore. I'm going to stay at home. I can get my church on there. And it's, you know, I'm just more peaceful or whatever. Mm-hmm. I believe that's probably true to some extent. But I think God's called us to step into the mess. Because the church is people. It's the body of Christ. It's people. And so when we enter into people's lives, you know this, whether it's at work or wherever, things can get messy. But then we think about the sign of getting past that messiness or working through that messiness is actually part of what God's called us to do with people in general. But I think all the more the church. So when I say, I don't think I want to go to church anymore because it's messy, I'm missing some of what God called me to, is that church is not about me. It's not about where I can be more comfortable or what, you know, it's not really about me and what I can get from it. It's actually about me diving in and investing in the body of Christ, which can times be messy, but God is refining all that. So when we get to stuff like love one another, encourage one another, spur one another onto love and good deeds, instruct one another, honor one another. These are all things that can be hard to do at times. Mm-hmm. but things that God calls all believers and actually his church to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the idea of going to church is two relationships going on, that vertical relationship between you and the Lord. You come to worship the Lord, you come to thank him, even to ask of him, and then also receive from him through Bible study, through worship. And then that horizontal relationship where you are pouring out to those around you and you're also receiving from those around you. So those two relationships are, oh, they make the cross. Somebody has to have already known that.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes. So that vertical relationship, the horizontal relationship is all a part of when we step into fellowship in our churches.
Well, Refuge, we miss you. We love you. We want to be back together with you soon.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.